Sullivan, and you're listening to Swan Feather Radio, a podcast series about creatives, innovators, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders sharing their experiences in our cultural economy. For each episode, we pair two wonderful people for a conversation that we believe is important to share. We hear them discuss their work and creative process, what influences have guided their decisions, and those with whom they've shared their journey. Swan Feather Radio is presented in association with our friends at WeTransfer and Warner Music Group.
Should I begin? All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Rutana Tarabzouni. My last name is a tricky one, but Rutana is my first name. I am a singer and songwriter, an artist. I'm from Saudi Arabia. I was born and raised there. I did my undergraduate studies in Boston and then went and worked for an oil company, of all places. Ended up at USC and did my master's there at the Annenberg School of Journalism, and I am now doing music full-time. And I'll get into more of the story behind that as the podcast continues.
I'm Dina Shihabi. I was born in Saudi Arabia and raised in Dubai. I'm an actress. I recently graduated from NYU's graduate acting program. I grew up as a dancer, and that's what originally took me to New York. I moved to LA a few months ago, and the first thing May did was put me in touch with Rutana and another friend of ours, Amaya. And the first thing we did when we met was we meditated.
Which is so hilarious.
Which is
we
so
prayed
hilarious.
In the way that we were not raised to pray. That's
exactly.
What we did as Saudi women. It was awesome.
Will you talk about why you chose Los Angeles as a place, as a landing point coming back from Saudi Arabia? And what took you back to Saudi Arabia and took you back? Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I went back to Saudi Arabia because for me, singing and art and individuality in the way that I'm living it right now was never really an option. It wasn't in the realm of possible in my mind. So, you know, like every good girl, I went back home and I worked for this oil company, which is fully owned by the Saudi government, Saudi Aramco. And I, you know, did what I was supposed to do. And it wasn't until a strange turn of events, I went to visit a friend in Boston as I was working, and I ended up at this casting call at a talent agency. I had never done anything like that before. I went to FedEx and printed out my school resume and my Facebook picture, and I ended up there, and the woman that owned the agency out of like 350 people chose me and another guy, and she asked me to sing for her. And then I sang Come Together by the Beatles, I'll never forget, and then she cried. And in my mind, I was like, holy shit, this is the first
time.
Like
I made someone cry.
Holy shit, this is the first time in my life that without a male guardian approving it, or without a system, or without any layers of religion, I just was able to affect someone. So I ended up going back and working for another year, but I got an itch and it never went away. And, you know, I found myself here. I chose LA because I knew nothing about the world. To me, it's like, oh, LA is where they make music videos. That's how removed from this industry and how much of a figment of my imagination this whole thing was. I literally just said, oh, LA. I think that's where people are.
Well, that's so true. I mean, when I was in high school and I started getting into dance, and I remember going to my school counselor and asking her where I could go to college to pursue this. And no one had done that before me at the school I went to, or let alone anyone else I knew. And so there was no one I could ask for advice or look to. And so I, same thing, I kind of was just like, well, I'll go to New York where I can dance and act at the same time. Los Angeles wasn't even on the radar for me because it was too far away for my parents. And they thought it was Hollywood was like a dirty place where like men would just like sexually assault you if you tried to do anything in the arts.
Yeah.
And so it's funny that we both ended up here, because in a way I think LA right now is really creative, right? And it does feel like there's a lot of space to be who you want to be and pursue what you want to pursue and have a voice out here.
I mean, yes. Are we allowed to talk about what today is? Today is the day after Trump has officially been elected as the presidential, as the president of the United States of America. And I think it's a very emotional moment for me, and I think for everybody that really believes in individuality and embraces differences. Wow, I'm getting emotional.
I know. It's a really tough time to be in America and to be a woman, I think, because everything he represents is, you know, against what we are fighting for.
I think it's just...
Which makes what we do that more important. Because I think one thing that is really powerful about artists is that with pain, with things that hold us back, we turn that into something worth sharing.
Absolutely.
You know, we're the ones that... It's our responsibility to move us forward and to give voice to the people that need it the most, you know?
I mean, it's the only thing that we can do as artists is continue to tell stories. It's just such a crazy thing. As you know, I moved here as a Saudi woman because I believed that I could be an individual here and that diversity would always cut through all the bullshit and it would always be embraced. And today there is a true threat to that, in that this man winning really mirrors a consciousness that is scary, a consciousness that says that different is scary.
I was thinking, though, like as Arabs, you know, the Arab world is criticized a lot, as it should be, for having kind of backward ideals, and it's going through a lot of growing pains right now. But it shows that so is America, right? We're all in this together. This isn't a fight that has to just happen in the Middle East, in Islam. It's something that has to happen worldwide and in America right now. Don't you feel that way? And don't you feel in a way that as people that grew up in quite a suppressed environment, we have a framework or a language or we have an experience that we can bring?
Absolutely.
That we can
share with people
that aren't used to living in that kind of environment.
Absolutely. I would always say this, that I think that in Saudi Arabia, our individuality is suppressed because of religion and because of things like the male guardianship system. But I think in America, I always say this, that everyone is brainwashed in a certain kind of way. And here people are so completely distracted, and this, you know, election has become pure entertainment. But for me, I just want to go back to this point of, as I moved here to be an individual and to embrace differences, and I think that there's a real threat in this man winning, because it says that many people are afraid of what looks different. And I just think that can't be. So it's all the more reason for us to not be stomped by... I just feel like I'm in Saudi Arabia all over again in a very different way.
Well, that's what I was feeling today. I was feeling, you know, I moved across the world because I can't do what I love in... you know, in Saudi Arabia or in Dubai, not really, you know, not to the same extent that opportunities present themselves here in Los Angeles, of all places, you know, the top of the pinnacle of what we both, of the careers that we're both in. But yeah, Trump becoming president is a threat to that. But at the same time, it's igniting this fire in me to want those things more, to give voice to differences, to individuality, to a different way of thinking. If anything, we need to be louder and we need to fight harder. And we are in businesses that hold power. I mean, my friend this morning sent me a song. He was like, this is the song of the day. And I listened to it on my way here. And it was the only thing that calmed me down enough to show up for you guys today. Because I woke up really upset. And in another way, I watched a movie on Saturday night, this movie called Loving, that is about an interracial couple in it wasn't even 60 years ago that was happening, that they weren't allowed to be together in Virginia, I think that's the state they were in, and they had to go to DC to get married, and they had to then move there, and they end up moving back and changing the course of the world and of what it means to be an interracial couple in America. I was sitting next to my friend Vella, who's a biracial woman. And so that gives me hope, you know? That was where we were less than 100 years ago, and look where we are today. If today, Trump mirrors where America is today. And right. so I hope that in the next, you know, by the next election, we will have learned a lot, and we will have, you know, risen up from the ashes, so to speak, and, you know, fought for what we believe in.
Yeah, because absolutely.
With what we do, we have the power to affect people, you know?
Yeah, on my way driving here, I'm putting out a song in January, and it's called Daddy, and it's about standing up to a bully, standing up to an oppressor of any sort. You know, and it's really simple, and it's sexy, and it's funny, and it, you know, the chorus just goes, "What you gonna do, daddy, daddy, what you gonna do?" And it's kind of like, this is me, and all of me, and all of my individuality, and I'm standing in front of you, even though it makes you so uncomfortable, or scared, or whatever it is. And on my way here, I was thinking, I just finished cutting the song, and there's Arabic vocals in it. And in the music video, I was planning a 7-second, just kind of a funny Arabic skit with, you know, American English subtitles. And on my way here, I was thinking, man, should I remove that? Am I going to be limiting my audience? Am I going to be scaring people? And for a second, I was like, yeah, maybe it should go. But no, it can't go. It just can't. If I'm going to have to scare people, I probably will scare people.
Well,
but
can we talk about that? Because we've connected on the fact that we've both had backlash, me from doing a movie, Amir and Sam, that upset a lot of people from where we come from, and you with your music and your social media presence. Like, we've both gotten, like, death threats, hate mail, like, which is really difficult because we want the people that, you know, we want the culture we come from to support us.
Absolutely.
You know, it actually is really hard without them.
Yeah. I mean, two things. I think that with time and just coming into myself, I've learned, you know, yes, I've gotten death threats. I've gotten a lot of hate mail. It's all over my Instagram. But the more I come into myself as an individual, as an artist, and the more I believe in the narrative that I'm meant to be on this earth to share. When people are angry and when they are offended, it is because you are awakening a part in the part of themselves that they are not ready to meet.
Yeah.
And so, good, you're not a zombie anymore. You're not fucking permanently in the state of beige. I'm glad you're mad. I'm glad there's a dialogue.
Yeah, I'm obviously doing something that is important enough to affect you, to have you talk back.
For me,
to me.
It's a victory that people are feeling something, because where we come from, people are asleep. Mm-hmm. They're comfortably asleep. And it's like, no, wake the F up. And I wasn't even talking about Arabs, absolutely. I was talking about America. I'm going to scare America.
As an Arab, but also as I feel very American, I voted yesterday. Having those two parts of myself that are constantly in conflict, I find difficult but also motivating. Like,
right.
There was a moment where, you know, I posted a picture of myself on Instagram that had cleavage, and it really upset.
The day our parents called us sluts. This happened on the same day.
Yeah, and it upset my older brother, and then it upset my father, and he's, you know, he reached out to me telling me to take it down, and that I, you know, that I presented myself, I was presenting myself as, you know, as slutty and cheap or something like that. And I was really upset. You know, I called you crying, and you came over, and we, like, held each other, and you showed me a text that your mother sent you about something else. Loose and cheap, because you posted a picture hugging a guy, you know? And it's this thing where we have respect and we understand where they're coming from. They grew up in a completely different world than we did,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If anything, they gave us the opportunities to study abroad and become the individuals that we are today. They wanted us to become who we are. They're really proud of us, you know?
Well,
even though there are moments, but I think that's really challenging, because I didn't take that picture down, you didn't take that picture down, we're still being who we are.
Right. Here's the thing about Saudi Arabia and about Saudi parents. They want you to change, and this was in the documentary that the New York Times put out called Ladies First. It was so interesting. One of the women that came from an extremely conservative family, her husband said, you can definitely participate in the elections, so long as no one knows about it. And that's kind of how, you know, I feel most people, especially my family. It's like, okay, do that, but let's not tell anyone about it. Let's keep it quiet.
Yeah, same with me. It's like, what? Do that, but don't come back home and do it. Like, you don't have to do that in the Arab world.
Or don't do this or don't do that. There's such it's like, be an individual, but be an individual in a box. Yeah. It's like, come out of the box and then just, like, go into another box. It's crazy.
If we're doing what we love. Like, that is that is an accomplishment no matter where you come from, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But there are moments where I think, oh, if I do this, if I take this job and tell this story, will my father be embarrassed? Will he stop talking to me? You know, and the thing is, I believe that there's nothing I could do that would alienate my family from me because they love me so much and because they actually really do support me and are proud of me. But there is that fear. I can't help it. Or, you know, I make this choice as an actor, and do I think, oh, are the people I grew up with going to think I'm, like, bad? Or, you know, there is that kind of thing.
Sure.
And so I feel like something you've spoken about a lot to me as friends, and something that you do, and I think I do this too, is that we put everything into our work, and we believe it, and we have this kind of, you know, unwavering faith that we will succeed, and that the success of what we do will hopefully move people, right?
Absolutely. You know, I did my master's at USC, and I did my thesis on the role of a narrative in creating a pop star brand. And it makes the argument that music is no longer the main product anymore. Music has now become a marketing tool for the larger entity that is, you know, the artist that is a brand. Mm-hmm. And so you use music to market your ideal, which is, you know, your narrative, what you believe in. The compass that I have, you know, do I make a pop song? Do I do this? Do I do this? I operate from the belief that if you are helping people identify parts in themselves and helping them self-actualize, then you've done your job. That's my compass for making art. That is it. So your parents and my parents and society, even if, you know, one of my aunts, you know, I did a crowdfunding campaign to raise money for my EP, and she said, I can't support this. I think you're going down the wrong path. I can't. I think that you're going to get in trouble with God, and I just think that you're doing wrong. But I know that by me being fully me, she's having a dialogue in herself, and I am facilitating her self-actualization, even if it means she disagrees with me. I facilitated that, and there's no greater reward. So that's what and that's why, like, the shit doesn't, it's not that it doesn't get to me anymore, sure, we're, you know, we still get affected, but there's a deep understanding now that I have that is shielding me from the bullshit.
And also, isn't it, it's also important that there isn't, you were talking about this earlier, about how if you go against the grain of what is the path to, you know, live a successful life in terms of what the our Saudi culture thinks is, you know, the way to do things. Mm-hmm. If you go against that, then you're not, because religion is culture in Saudi Arabia still.
Right.
Then you're going against God. You're going against, you know, the kind of highest power of all, right?
Right.
Everything that matters in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
But what's wrong with that, right? Like, what is wrong with challenging that? We don't think there's anything wrong with it. And I think it's important that we stand by that, because there isn't one way of being a Saudi woman. There isn't one way of being a Muslim. There isn't one way of believing in God if you believe in God. There isn't one way of, you know, being good to your family.
That's what artists
different.
Do. They say, you know, Saudis have a land. Saudis that fit the criteria of being Saudi have a land. And Americans have a land. I'm all the time called an American just because I dress the way that I dress and I speak my mind. So that makes me an American.
And then we go home and everyone says, you're so American.
Where is the land for everyone else that does have Saudi values and you know, does have some quote-unquote Western values? That is what artists do. They make land for the refugees. They create a safe home for refugees. And so that's what we're here to do.
Today, my father is different. You know, he did... he does support me being an actor and is really proud of me. And I see that, and I take responsibility for that, because I think me following my dreams really changed my parents.
Absolutely.
You know, do you see that way too?
Absolutely. And it's what I go back to what I was talking about in terms of, like, helping people self-actualize and self-fulfill. I absolutely see that in my parents. They're still, you know, it's kind of new to them. It's still only been like 2.5-3 years, so they're still, you know, scared shitless because they get so much bullshit from people, and they know how dangerous it is for me to be doing what I'm doing on so many levels. So they're scared, but I see my father. I mean, again, there's a male guardianship system in Saudi Arabia, so I am not legally allowed to be here. In Saudi Arabia, you are not legally allowed to travel or get medical care, open a bank account without a man signing a paper saying, yes, I allow her to do so. So I cannot legally be here without my father signing a paper. And, you know, there are moments where my dad...
Do you feel that weighs on you?
I mean, I'm privileged, and part of the reason that I feel a responsibility as an artist is because I'm privileged that I have a liberal father that does allow me to do these things. Yeah. But there are moments where my dad, you know, I get slapped. I forget sometimes that I am ultimately not in charge of my own life.
Yeah.
There are moments where my dad gets heated and says, you know, when I decide this is enough, you come back. And that's a real, and I, you know, it slaps me back into reality of, holy shit, it's really... I don't get to give up this career when I say it's done. It's done when my dad says it's done. But, you know, I see my father 99% of the time just watching me in complete awe. And it's not even because of my achievements.
What we do is brave, and I think that our fathers respect that.
Absolutely, you know? But you also have to, I mean, and I know that you know this, but, you know, right now... When things become a physical threat, that's when the conversation is different.
Yeah.
You know, right now, I have a platform that's modest, and it's because I haven't really put anything out. All of the... I've had, you know, I've been on international media for no other reason other than, oh my God, this chick's Saudi. But when the platform does grow, and when there is influence, and you bet your ass I'm going to use my voice to speak out against all the things that I think are just ridiculous, then that, you know, there it could very possibly become physically dangerous. And so that's, and I wouldn't want to stop there. And
no,
I honestly...
That's honestly basically where we begin, right? It's everything's leading up to that, right?
But so that's...
To having that kind of platform.
That's the only point where I think my dad would stop me, I think. I mean, I don't know.
But you might be too far along that he can't.
He's also fed up. He's scared. Like, he's seeing me turn into this person that he doesn't recognize. Which is an individual. He doesn't... It's incredible. Wow, I'm having a light bulb moment. My father is the most liberal man in the world, and to see his daughter turn into an individual that doesn't rely on him to build her value system or to create her art or to make any kinds of decisions is horrifying for my father. It's something that, you know, most people in the West, it's like, oh, I'm so proud of my kid. They did it.
Yeah.
For my dad, it's like, what's happening? This is the apocalypse.
Well, because they didn't think they would have daughters like us. I think it is pretty radical that we are the way we are, you know? I mean, I think about it all the time. I think about, if I never stepped into that dance class, what would I be doing? If I didn't see this woman who represented, my dance teacher represented this independent, powerful, confident, sexy woman, and I walked in there and thought, oh my God, those are all the things I want to be. I'm sick of feeling like because I'm a girl in the Arab world, I can't do what guys do, which is something that was constantly told to me over and over again because I'm the only girl in a family of boys, you know? And
right. And
so that's something that is kind of like accepted. Like, oh, the women must, you know, must be protected and they're not allowed to do certain things. And if you have sex, you're a slut. If you, you know what I mean? All these things that are archaic and... Everything we represent challenges every single one of those ideals,
right.
You know? Everything.
Swan Feather Radio is supported by WeTransfer. They help us with providing the easiest way to send large files to our creative community. WeTransfer uses its wallpaper background to support a diverse cross-section of talent, and you can learn more at WeTransfer.com.
What's interesting about being an artist today at 2016 as an actor in LA is that there's this huge interest in, you know, diversity, inclusion. I don't like the word diversity, I like the word inclusion, but, you know, last year there was, you know, a lot of criticism towards the Oscars. Oscars so white because there wasn't enough representation of people other than white actors. And that is something, that is a direction the industry is moving in. I have a friend visiting from England right now who's he's white, attractive, and he was saying that he's having all these meetings, and they're all saying that people aren't really interested in white actors at the moment, and that it there is this huge...
Are not interested.
Because the stories that people want to tell and what's making money in the box office is people of color.
Stories of minorities.
And so as a person who's, you know, Arab and mixed, my mother's actually also half Haitian German, so I'm a mutt. There's a lot of opportunity for me, and I feel that. I audition a lot. The scripts I read have more people of color than they did when I first started auditioning a few years ago. So it has changed a lot. Where it becomes tricky is that in terms of being an Arab, the Arab roles I'm auditioning for are still in headscarves, still have accents. And as you can see, Rotan and I both were born in Saudi Arabia and raised in the Arab world. I left when I was 18. You left when you were 18. We don't have accents. You're wearing, you know, a crop top and jeans, and I'm wearing like a tight flower dress. Like, yeah. We wear what we want. Our hair is out. We drink. We do. You know what I mean? We're full, complex peoples that aren't an idea of what people see Arabs are. And so my challenge as an Arab actress in LA is what we spoke about earlier. Do I take the jobs that put me in a headscarf and in an accent to move forward in my career, because those are the things that I am auditioning for and that I have a great chance of booking? And then from there, do I move forward and do other things? I mean, that seems to be the way, but I guess what I want is more than that.
Yeah.
So I've started writing, and my goal is to produce something I've written, you know?
Yeah.
I feel a responsibility to share our stories, you know? The same way you feel a responsibility to write your own music. Like, we have an experience that's worth being presented.
Yeah.
You know? We do the things we do because we want to tell stories. We want to move people. We want to affect change. We want to give voice to the things inside us that we've, you know, felt rumbling in us since we were kids.
Yeah.
And so the minute I started putting that to paper, that changed my life. That changed my day to day. And that's something you can do from Dubai. You can write your own stories from Dubai. You can write your own stories from Saudi Arabia. There is a world for film in the Middle East right now. There are movies that are coming out there. There was a movie from Jordan that was in the Oscar race last year.
Absolutely.
You know?
There's definitely an artistic renaissance that's happening in the Arab world.
And in Saudi Arabia, for sure. And with women in Saudi Arabia. And,
absolutely.
And so that's something that you can do no matter where you are. You can write your own stories. And that's been the best kind of discovery since I've graduated from school. And I was lucky enough that while I was in school, I booked a lead in a movie, and that was a huge deal to me. And that really helped me get the agents and, you know, everything. And it's something I'm really proud of. That's actually kind of in the process of becoming a TV show now, which is really cool.
Congrats!
I know, it's cool.
Yeah,
that's still in the early stages. And we'll see whether that comes to fruition, but that's... I've been lucky, and I've worked with people that I love. And so that's another thing about the day-to-day. I surround myself with people like you, Ro, that know where I come from and also know where I'm going. I would love to play someone that has nothing to do of where they come from. Someone that is just, you know, like...
Like, I would love to see you play a movie called American Honey just came out.
Oh, my God, I would love to play
the lead. What's the girl's name that plays the lead in that?
Sasha.
It's a movie with Shia LaBeouf, and it's about, you know, lower-class America, this gang of kids that go door-to-door.
And she looks like she can be from anywhere.
And they
like,
sell magazines, so, and it's about, you know, sex and drugs and life and loss, and I want to see you do that.
Yeah, I want to do that, too. I want to do something that is, even if it is a girl from the Arab world, I want to do something that is not about being a woman in a headscarf.
And talk about why, because
with an accent, and that's all she represents, and that's her, you know, her role in telling the story is being the other. I don't want to do that. I want to play someone that's complex and layered and wants something, is actually in the action of the story.
Yeah.
And want, you know what I mean? And I've done that, and the movie I did is that, and I'm so proud of it. But most of what I auditioned for isn't that, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have, like, just when I watch movies, and there's a movie coming out right now called Lion, and I remember reading that script, and Rooney Mara's playing the part I auditioned for. I mean, she's so incredible and so deserved it, and that role in that movie is beautiful. And so there are all these scripts that I read with complex, tortured, or powerful, or emotional, strong, resilient. You know, everything. I want to play a real person. I want to play a person that is enduring the day-to-day and that is presenting that on screen or on stage, you know?
I think at the end of the day, it comes to, like, but also, if there's a story that you believe in, and you feel, you know, there's this book that I'm obsessed with. It's called Story Wars, Why Those Who Tell the Best Stories Will Rule the World. And I'm sure that if you read an incredible story that put you in a headscarf, you would do it. And I think...
Yeah, the headscarf is not the problem.
It's not the issue.
It's the way those stories, it's the way those roles are being written. They're
absolutely
very limited, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I did a role in a headscarf, and I'm, like I said, Amira and Sam, I'm so proud of it. She is a complex, resilient, fighting for something woman, you know? It's when it's just put in the story to have an other.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think I have friends that are Latino that feel that way. I have, you know, African American friends that feel that way. We want to be the thing that drives the story.
Yeah.
What's next for you? Or what's coming up? I mean, it's a really exciting time. You're about to, you know, put your music out into the world and talk about that.
What's next is I finally release a song in January. Again, it's called Daddy. I'm shooting the music video for it actually this coming Wednesday.
It's amazing.
To just begin with the narrative of standing up with your individuality to whoever it is that's trying to suppress it. I wrote down this, and to follow that, a month and a half after that, another single will come out, and I'm basically just going to drop 3 or 4 singles in the span of, 5 to 6 months.
And you're shooting a video next week.
And I'm shooting a video next week, and I will be including the Arabic everything in it, because it's part of the story. I wrote this...
And it's part of the gift that you're... You know,
it's part of the gift, and I wrote, we've been talking this whole podcast, and I wrote down the word disruption, and... You know, labels don't want to take a chance on anything. They don't want to do anything that doesn't really feel familiar. The industry doesn't want to disrupt anything anymore. And so, do you have the courage to disrupt? Do you have the balls to do it and to watch the outcome and to keep pushing even though on first try it falls on deaf ears? And my answer to that is yes, and I will keep doing it until I die. And it might just happen that I die, and then, probably what's going to happen is I'll die and people will be like, oh shit, that was so dope. If that's the path, then fine, but continue to disrupt.
I mean, when I listened to your song for the first time, you videoed me because I was so excited,
You were jamming!
I don't know, but also I was so... Oh, God, like, the feel... Like, if I could talk to, like, my child self and be like, when you grow up, you're going to be surrounded by, like, Arab female artists that want the same things you do and that are doing the same things you do. Like, that would be amazing. I'm...
The feeling is so mutual.
I feel so lucky to have you in my life, and it feels like you came into my life at the perfect time. We're very much in sync of what we're fighting for and... where we are, and I'm so happy to be
mutual.
I'm so excited for people to hear your music, because I think it's gonna have the same effect on them as it did on me, which was really inspiring.
Aw, I love you, kiddo.
I love you so much.
I'm Michelle Sullivan, and you're listening to Swan Feather Radio. Swan Feather Radio is presented in association with our friends at WeTransfer and Warner Music Group. This podcast is brought to you with help from our friends at Warner Music Group. The Warner family includes Atlantic Records, Elektra, Nonesuch, and Warner Chappell Music. It's home to many of our favourite artists at Swan Feather. We admire their meaningful approach to artist development and commercial innovation. Thank you.